In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm so excited to be up here and getting to share a message with you. It feels like it's been a long time. Actually, the last time that I got to preach here at Blessed Savior, it was right when COVID was really getting bad. And so I stood in here on like a Thursday night in a mostly empty room talking to a camera. That was the last time I got to speak. So I am so thankful that we get to be in person and that I get to share this word with you once again. Now, for those who may not know, this past year, my wife and I were on vicarage. So it's basically where seminarians go to be a student pastor. You go for a year and you get to get into ministry. We were out in Denver, Colorado, and it was an awesome experience. We had a great church family. We were in the mountains. We love hiking, so it was just like the dream fit there. Absolutely wonderful experience. We were blessed with a son, Talik, who's just turned 9 months. I think a lot of you have gotten a chance to meet him. So it was a great year. And what some of you may not know is that we actually weren't supposed to be back this year. We were supposed to be studying abroad. We had passports and plane tickets to Buenos Aires, Argentina. And I was going to be studying at a Lutheran seminary down there. We were geared up and ready to go. And through COVID, God had other plans. And in August, we found out that we were coming back to St. Louis to finish up our education here. And I share that because with all of the changing plans, when everything was kind of just flipped upside down on us, there was one thing that Melanie and I were in total agreement on. We were so excited to be back at Blessed Savior this year. This church family has meant so much to us. You guys have been so encouraging to me, have been such a blessing in your prayers and your love. And so we were so, so pumped to be back here with you for one last year. And I share that because when we think of being apart, well, we were in Denver and now we're being gathered back here. It's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit today, because that's what our prophet Jeremiah is talking about. Now, just for some context for those who may not know or maybe need a refresher, Jeremiah is a prophet of God in the Old Testament. So God comes to Jeremiah, tells him what to say, and then Jeremiah turns and tells God's people his message. Thus says the Lord, here's the message. Now, God's people, through a variety of power struggles, they had one kingdom that got split. The northern kingdom has been wiped out, and now all that's left is the southern kingdom of Judah. And that's where Jeremiah is talking to. So he's talking to this last group of God's people who come from the lineage of King David and King Solomon. And what Jeremiah is talking to is this group of very broken people living in a very broken world. You see, even though God has been faithful to his people, they haven't always been faithful back. And in fact, too often they flee to turn to other gods whenever things get dire. Or when there's another military force, instead of trusting on the God who has protected them, who's watched over them, instead they rely on their own wisdom and might, or on the wisdom and might of other nations. And so we see this people that it just continues to show their brokenness, their sinfulness. They turn from God. He had called on them to live in this special way to represent how he always wanted this world to look. And so he had called them to look out for the poor, the homeless, the widowed, the orphaned. And instead of looking out for those people, they're often neglected or even exploited. Now, Jeremiah is speaking to broken people living in a broken world. And as we sit here today, it doesn't take much reflection to realize that the same is still true of us, that we are still broken people living in a very broken world. I mean, you look around, right? We all know stories of shattered futures cut short by childhood illness that can't be explained. We hear broken promises made by leaders that say that they're going to carry out God's will in this world and then don't. We see broken families where faithfulness and love and promises are shattered. Our bodies bear this brokenness. Like I just said, I just experienced this myself. Right? I had the seizure. That alone shows how broken it is. But now is it because of this? Man, I have back pain for the first time in my life. I have chipped teeth, right? Brokenness is all around us. And when I think of broken people, I'm reminded of somebody I met when I was in Denver. You see, when I was on Vicarage, we had this Thursday night church service that was specifically designed to take care of the homeless in Denver. It was this incredible, incredible community. And there was always new people coming in because a lot of people would, you know, be passing through, moving on to a new town. And so one night I noticed there was somebody new, so I went over to introduce myself. I sat down next to him, and it was great. He was from Scotland originally, so had this thick Scottish accent that I wish I could emulate for you, but I can't, so I'm not going to torture you with that. But I asked him what his name was, and in this thick Scottish accent, what I heard, I thought he said his name was Dodal McKenzie. I don't know if anyone's ever met somebody with the first name Dodal before. I thought it was pretty strange, but I didn't want to judge, right? All right, okay, nice to meet you, Dodal. And so I'm introducing him to everybody. Hey, have you met Dodal yet? Have you met Dodal? Well, eventually somebody asked, Dodal, how do you spell that? And he turns to them and he says, oh, it's D-O-N-A-L-D. And I realized that Dodal was Donald. Thankfully, Donald was very, very gracious with me and was totally cool with it. But as I talked to Donald, what became apparent was how broken this man was. You see, he had moved over to the United States years ago, hoping for things to turn out well. And through a variety of his own brokenness and the brokenness of the society around him, he found himself homeless, drifting from town to town, totally reliant on what he can get as far as people's generosity. His pants were broken. He had a hole that was about a foot long running down his jeans. He was way too comfortable sitting with his legs spread apart. He had just been shot in the thigh the other night because of some violence on the streets. He proceeded to tell me, too, about how his ex-wife lived in Denver, about 15 minutes from where we were at. And my heart broke for him as he talked about the love that he still had for her and how he wished he could go back and change what he had done and wished he hadn't pushed her away. Now, Donald was a broken man living in a broken world. And while not all of our stories sound exactly like Donald's, we all feel that brokenness. Maybe not every day, but every week, every time we look around. And it's that reason, it's the fact that we are so broken and that we're living in such a broken world that make Jeremiah's words so startling to me. Because he's looking at this broken people, and this is what he says, right? So we had in verse 7, Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness. He goes on to say, raise shouts for the chief of the nations, proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. So Jeremiah sees these broken people in this broken world, and yet he can say, sing with gladness, shout for joy, proclaim, praise. And at first we might be tempted to think that Jeremiah is doing what a lot of us are tempted to do, and that's to just put on a good face, right? Just be positive, send out good vibes. Right, just pretend everything's better than it is. But that's not what Jeremiah is doing. And in fact, in this same set of prophecies, right, Jeremiah is actually telling this people that because of their brokenness, because of their unfaithfulness and their sinfulness, they're going to be taken off into exile. So families are going to be ripped from their homes, marched hundreds if not thousands of miles away to live out the rest of their life in a foreign land, just hoping that one day their descendants can make it back home. So he realizes that their brokenness has consequences, and yet despite all of that, he can say, praise, proclaim, shout with joy because of what God is going to do. That's why in verse 8 he continues and he says, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. So God is saying there's going to be consequences for this brokenness, but I'm not forsaking you because while you're in exile, I'm going to watch over you, I'm going to protect you, and one day I'm going to bring you back to me. I'm going to bring you back here to this holy land. Right? Despite all the brokenness, there is still hope because I am not leaving you. I am with you through it all. And what's so cool is Jeremiah continues by calling out specific groups of people. people that most of us would probably overlook, and especially at this time. He says, among them, the blind and the lame, the pregnant and she who is in labor. Now, at this time and place, if you're blind or lame, it's often viewed as a sign of your own sinfulness. So you were considered unclean. You couldn't go into the temple. You couldn't offer sacrifices. You were an other. People overlooked you. And yet, Jeremiah says, the people you think that are the most broken, I'm looking out for them too. And I'm going to bring them back to me. And we see that he continues to carry this promise through, because while the people do go into exile, we can read, we do know that the people of Israel were brought back to Judah. That God was faithful and he found a way to preserve his remnant, to keep them together. This broken people, this band of the broken. Now, when the brokenness persisted, right, when the sin continued, he didn't leave them then any either. And instead, God did something that nobody expected. God actually sent his son, Jesus, into this world. And Jesus, being God's son, is the only one who's ever been perfectly whole. The only one who's ever been perfectly holy. And yet he entered this broken world, this world of messes and shattered dreams, hopes, and promises, this world of sin, to proclaim that there was forgiveness, that there was restoration, that what Jeremiah was prophesying was not over, but that God was going to continue to be faithful to his people, even amongst the brokenness. And so Jesus is going around and he's healing people and he's proclaiming that the kingdom of God is at hand and that there's a way that you can repent. And we got a beautiful glimpse of his ministry here in Mark, because Jesus is walking along the streets and there's this man named Bartimaeus. Now, we don't know much about Bartimaeus other than his name, that he was blind, he was a beggar, and his dad's name. That's all we're told. And yet, like I said, as a blind man, he would probably be considered unclean. He was not allowed in the temple. He was just relying on whatever people would hand him. And yet he had heard these prophecies, these promises from God, that God was going to do something, and he was going to gather the blind and lame just like Bartimaeus, that he was going to provide restoration. So when Bartimaeus hears about this man named Jesus, who seems to be fulfilling all of these promises, he can't help but call out. So when he finds out Jesus is nearby, he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, by saying "Son of David," he's clearly saying, "You are the Messiah. Please look at this broken man and bless me." And Bartimaeus has responded to probably how he was most of his life. The crowd's trying to quiet him down, like, "Hey, stop talking," right? He's got more important people to talk to. And yet Bartimaeus, in his faith, just cries out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus has compassion. He invites him over and asks him, what do you want? And Bartimaeus says, I want to receive my sight. I want to be able to see. And remarkably, Jesus looks at him and says, "Go, your faith has made you well." And from that day forward, Bartimaeus could see. He was no longer blind. Now, what's amazing too is that that didn't stop. Bartimaeus didn't just go off and live his life. He follows Jesus from that day forward. This encounter with the only one who could give him what he needed changed his life. And one of the challenges for us as we hear the story of Bartimaeus is that our brokenness hasn't always been met in that same way. We hear Bartimaeus's miraculous healing and we wonder, all right, God, that's great. I'm glad you gave him his sight, but what about my brokenness? What about that sin that I just can't shake? I wish you'd just take away that temptation already. Or the times that we've called out, God, can you please provide healing? How many times have we prayed, God, can you save this relationship? And it feels like it isn't met. In this lifetime, we don't always see the blessing that Bartimaeus received. We won't always see our needs fixed. And yet, what Jesus did for Bartimaeus, what he really did for him, he's done for you and me. Because what Bartimaeus' bigger issue was not that he was blind. It was that he was broken. See, Bartimaeus, like all of us, was a sinner who was lost, that apart from Jesus could no longer get to God. There was a separation because of his sinfulness and because of the brokenness of this world. And Jesus, in coming to him, gave him faith. And Jesus' ministry continued from there. He continued to heal and to proclaim and to teach. And eventually, Jesus' own people killed him for his message. And at that time, when Jesus hung on a cross, the only one who's ever been whole, the only one who's ever been holy, took upon the brokenness of the world. He took all of your brokenness, he took all of my brokenness upon himself. And in that moment, he made our brokenness beautiful. Because 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, overcoming it, overcoming all of the brokenness and sin in this world. And Paul tells us that when you and I were baptized, when we were washed by that water, that we were baptized into that same death and into that same resurrection. And now we've been given new life. You know, there's this really cool art form in Japanese culture called kintsugi. You might have heard of it before. The idea is that you take pottery, a lot of times it's a bowl, and you break it. And then when you repair it with something beautiful like silver or especially gold. So if you ever look at a piece of kintsugi, you have this crazy juxtaposition where you have this dark-colored bowl that's been broken, and yet all of the cracks are now shimmering, beautiful gold. And I love it because it's not the broken pieces that make it beautiful, but it's the one that brings the broken pieces back together, the one that gathers up the brokenness. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says that Jesus is not only the one by whom all things were made, but he's the one by whom all things hold together. That all of our broken pieces, all of our sin, Jesus has washed and made beautiful, shimmering gold, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done for us. Because he looked at you in all of your brokenness and said, I'm willing to die and rise for you so you might have new life. And now the Holy Spirit lives in you. And when I think of that kintsugi, that broken bowl with that shimmering gold, I think back to Donald, or Dodal if you'd prefer. You see, Donald was a very unique character, and as I was talking to him, every once in a while he would look off to the side and murmur a number. It was very unique. So we'd be talking, and all of a sudden he would look off and say, 43. Okay, we'd keep talking, and a little bit later he'd look off and go, 35. And so eventually the number got pretty low, and I was, nervous. I wasn't really sure what was going on. So I asked him, Donald, what are you saying? What are these numbers that you keep saying? And he told me that he was looking at the clock. And he said, that's how many minutes till I get to hear the word of the Lord. And at that moment I realized that I was sitting next to a broken man, and yet I got to see this shimmering gold. Because with all of his broken parts, he was held together by the very word of Jesus. And just like Bartimaeus, he looked to Jesus for what he could find nowhere else. No other promise, no other source of happiness could give him the restoration that he was hoping for. Only the word of God. And so, brothers and sisters, I invite you to not feel like you always have to hide your brokenness. Too often, we feel like we have to put on a face and pretend that everything's okay. But with one another, as brothers and sisters, and even to the world, we're freed to share the brokenness that we've experienced and the brokenness of our own sin. Because it's in those cracks that we get to testify to the golden love of Jesus, who takes this band of broken people and makes us beautiful. And the world can see his love, and we can testify that there will be a day, just as we sang, when Jesus will return and all things are made new, and no longer will we be broken pieces, but all there will be is beautiful shimmering gold and the holiness of Jesus upon us. May that be our comfort and our strength. Amen.